And that, of course, is Evelyn Perry, and She Rides. You're listening to a relaunch of Totally Spoked on CSEK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and I'm your host, Christine Bruce. In this episode, we'll ask the questions, is there a gap between risk perception and reality? And does risk perception matter more than reality when it comes to active transportation? I'm going to discuss this further with my friend Debbie Wellwood and her partner, Lothar Schaefer. I'm also going to speak with the Smithers Pride Committee to talk about having bike ballet at their downtown event in June. Ready? Go get your walking shoes, your bicycle, your skateboard, your snowshoes, whatever active transportation mode you choose, and let's set out. Debbie, the last time we got together, you said you'd been considering the difference
between perceived risk and objective risk or real risk.
Yeah. Why does that interest you?
Perhaps because for many years I worked as a wildlife ecologist and grizzly bear specialist doing bear-human conflict risk assessments. And people often think that grizzly bears are higher risk than I think most people realize they are. And there were higher risks within my work, which were driving for many hours on highways and on logging roads and telemetry flights, which I knew from an objective risk factor that those were higher risks to me than the bears were. But I was thinking about it in the context of cycling and other things that we do, walking to town and driving. And maybe it's because I think people underappreciate the real risk of driving a vehicle. But I think driving a vehicle, if you spend a lot of hours on the road, it's a pretty risky activity. Oh, I find that some riding conditions, bicycle riding conditions, I find that the risk is pretty high. And I think that's a relatively objective opinion of it. But around town here, I don't find the risk unacceptable. I'm quite comfortable riding my bike around town. Most drivers are respectful. Mm-hmm. Not driving too fast, watching what they're doing. Having said that, I always make eye contact with drivers. I don't assume that they can see me if I'm turning or that they're paying attention to what I'm doing. So I probably ride fairly defensively as well.
You recently said something that really surprised me. You said your perception of riding your bike is that it's often riskier than your risk tolerance. And in your view, a lot depends on giving space for cyclists and drivers' beliefs, expectations, and attitudes. You've gone pretty long distances in pretty heavy traffic on bicycles.
Like in our long bicycle rides, there are places where I kind of have to force myself to ride because it does feel so dangerous. But I've decided that I want to get from one place to another place, so I'm taking that risk, but it doesn't come lightly on my psychology.
Yeah, I think I would feel the same way.
Yeah, no, it comes with a huge amount of stress for me.
I have a couple of friends who've ridden from, like, Alaska all the way down BC on the highway in a car. There's no shoulder. So why would you ride a bicycle on these highways? And they do it.
It's tough, yeah. Highway 16 has sections where the shoulder might be only 6 inches wide. And you've got lots of industrial traffic, big tractor-trailer units, and sometimes they're facing oncoming traffic and they can't veer out, give us more space on our white line beside a six or in the 6-inch shoulder. And that, to me, is really risky. And the risk is higher when people don't slow down. And there are a lot of drivers that don't slow down. They just feel like they own the road, and anybody on a bicycle should be out of their driving lane, even when that's impossible for us to do. We're sometimes on the white line. There's nowhere else to go. So it really depends a lot on how much space we're given and whether drivers are willing to slow down or not.
When we're talking about Highway 16, that's not really intended as shared space for bicycles. It is, but it isn't.
It was not built for cyclists.
No.
Parts of it.
Yeah. But streets in any downtown core should be accessible for anybody who wants to use them. It should always be shared space because everybody needs to get to the post office, to the grocery store, to the library, to the hospital. And you shouldn't have to take your car. You should be able to choose what you take. I would think that everybody accepts the fact that there are going to be bicycles on a downtown street, whereas they're not necessarily going to accept the fact that there might be a bicycle on Highway 16.
Well, I think in this day and age, especially given the number of cyclists that are riding long distances through here, like we've ridden our bicycles from here to Tuktoyaktuk in the Northwest Territories, and it's some of the world's class riding, actually. And for us to ride from here to there actually didn't feel that stressful to me. But there are parts of Highway 16 that I would consider, after riding our bicycles for several years through the Americas, some of the worst riding is between here and Prince George on Highway 16. And it doesn't take that much to add a shoulder that's big enough for a cyclist to use. So I would say in these times, we certainly should be able to ride in a bicycle lane all across Canada.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that for the purposes of our own active transportation plan, there should be an element of heightened assumption that anybody can ride their bicycle downtown and not feel unsafe.
I agree, but it's obviously still a work in progress. Culture is evolving and we're not there yet. We're still in a very car-centric culture. I sometimes despair at how slowly that is changing.
Michael Colville Anderson said that the reason that they're having a hard time getting off that idea is that the car culture has been around for 100 years, and it's very hard to shift that.
Yeah, and it's deeply embedded in our culture. People associate freedom with car culture.
The wide privilege, road. Money,
sure.
You know, success.
Sure.
If you have a bicycle, then you obviously don't have success, right? So you're somehow less than. And I have to keep reminding people that I have a car. I've just chosen to leave it at home.
There's a lot of reasons to take a bicycle or a walk. I started doing it quite a long time ago as a way of looking after myself physically and mentally. A stressful day at the office, a bicycle ride home or a walk home in this community is very social. It's very interactive. I love it. Brings a lot of joy. And in Latin America, people are walking and riding in a lot of different places, and there are places where they have entire streets that are only for non-motorized vehicles or pedestrians, for entire areas or for specific days of the year or on weekends.
Car-free Sundays.
And they always come with a lot of joy. There doesn't seem to be any anger at the idea that it's non-motorized. It's joy.
Yeah, you just bring the whole family and get together with people.
Maybe that's the best part, is the family, like intergenerational kids playing, riding. It's pretty exciting.
So do you think perception matters more than reality when it comes to using a bicycle for active transportation?
Perception is often not backed up by evidence. It would be good to have policies based on evidence. Yeah, we should probably examine our own assumptions and make sure that the things we believe are based on evidence and not on some myths.
Yeah, cycling in winter. I didn't cycle in winter till I moved to Toronto, where everybody cycles in winter, and I suddenly realized, I should try this. Why am I not doing this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are certain things you want, as you say, there's salt on the road, you've got to get the right bike, you've got to have the right equipment on your clothing, but once you get those things in place, it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lovely to be able to ride in. I love that everybody says to me, they don't say hello, good morning. They say, you didn't ride in this weather, did you?
You know, winter riding probably just, it's a matter of motivation. And I think a lot of people are not that motivated. It takes a bit of thoughtfulness and definitely a lot of motivation.
Well, I was thinking about this, how we could bridge that gap between perception and reality. And there are some things, like if we addressed some safety concerns through better lighting, dedicated infrastructure rather than just a painted line that keeps you separated from the cars, traffic calming measures, wouldn't that help align perception with reality a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Like we've seen it all around the world, that if you put a really good active transportation plan in place, lots more people pull their bikes out because they just feel safe.
For sure.
Build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And it just adds so much, has so many benefits. in terms of livability of urban areas. You know, the air gets cleaner, there's less noise, there's more people in the streets, and it's a very social thing when you're encountering other cyclists and pedestrians. You're not cocooned in a vehicle with a ton of metal around you. Yeah, just so many benefits, physical and mental health benefits to those who are using active transportation. Admittedly, slowing down vehicle traffic may be considered an inconvenience by some people, but there's a lot of benefits there too. It's just safer for everybody. Yeah, and psychologically, I think it's a good thing to slow down.
Yeah.
My friend Gail Lunn at Rebels Research found this statistic. And in Perth, Ontario, after implementing their connected cycling network in 2018 to 2020, a study concluded that mental health metrics improved by 16% among regular bicycle commuters. Think of the money that we're saving in hospital visits, in days off work. That in itself is a reason to put in this infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to get cyclists out. You have the space that cars take. So downtown gets filled with cars and people claim they have problems finding a parking space. More cyclists downtown, there'll be more room, less vehicle traffic on the roads, less maintenance needed on the roads.
Quieter.
So if you can find the balance of cycling for people's mental health and well-being and vehicles for what vehicles are needed for. I think vehicles have taken us down a path of loss in terms of culture. People are in their bubbles. They're in their house. They get in their car. They go downtown. They miss out on the social aspects, exercise. And now we have a loneliness crisis.
Okay, here's one more series of statistics collected from a Canadian town once their active transportation infrastructure was installed. After implementing a bicycle-friendly community plan, the community of Victoriaville, Quebec, population about 46,000, reported a 24% reduction in downtown traffic congestion during peak hours, a reduction of carbon emissions by an estimated 340 tons annually from the transportation sector, and a 31% increase in residents reporting strong sense of community in neighborhoods with bike infrastructure. Like, doesn't that sound like something that everybody would want?
Totally. There's no downside.
It's not that I want everybody on a bicycle. I want everybody to have a choice.
Yeah, and a lot of people wouldn't feel comfortable riding as the situation is now around town, especially with kids or sending their kids out to ride.
If we had kids riding to school there, a lot of that traffic would be gone. They wouldn't be getting driven.
Oh,
I think they can ride themselves to school. We just need to make it possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we convince people to not bring their cars to that intersection. And
yeah.
We don't have to. They don't all have to be there. They just think they have to be there. There's the perception. If we can convince them that there are other ways, if there are alternatives, I think they'd find that it's a lot nicer intersection.
It took a while to get bike paths going in Vancouver, and now, but the last time I was down there riding on them, they're pretty amazing, and they get used to that.
Yeah, and I think even a small town like Smithers can learn something about, you know, the traffic calming measures that they use in cities like Vancouver. I think that goes a long way to allaying the safety concerns of cyclists and pedestrians. Just the fact that traffic is so much slower where you have that kind of appropriate traffic calming infrastructure.
And the distances aren't so great in town that if people are going slower, there's more multi-users. The distances aren't so great that it will be a huge time cost for people, and they'd have alternative routes if they needed to get from point A to point B faster.
What would it take you to get all the way, walking all the way across town?
Half hour.
Is it that
like
long?
From one side of town to the opposite side of town? About a half hour.
Okay.
Takes me 20 minutes from here to the Nora building.
That's not asking a lot. And that's 20 minutes well spent. Hi,
exactly.
How are you today?
Exactly.
Yeah. I actually can't imagine not having that time to, or that exercise, or just getting out. I wonder how it would improve our air quality. Like, I know our air quality is some of the worst in the province. I don't know how the vehicle exhaust is feeding into that, but it would be interesting to know if somebody that lives in town like I do, who chooses to walk most of the time or ride my bicycle, how much of the particulate I'm reducing instead of driving, if I were driving.
I know when I lived in Jakarta, I rode my bicycle to work every day. And the particulate, you could literally see the particulate matter. It was so bad in Jakarta. But they had car-free Sundays, and I would take my bike over, and the air quality was phenomenally better. It was so obvious. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just anecdotal, but honestly, nobody would argue that case in Jakarta. So it'd be interesting to see if we could get enough people out of their cars and smithers. Would it be obvious?
Yeah,
anecdotally obvious.
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
Certainly would be obvious at some times of the year, like in the spring months when we have a lot of dust issues in town because of all the gravel and salt and dirt that's been put on the roads all winter long. And every time a fast-moving car goes by, you get a cloud of dust, and that really affects us here in town. So if you reduce motorized traffic, especially at that time of year, it will make a dramatic improvement in our air quality. And that's the air that we all share, whether we're driving vehicles or not.
We know there's health impacts in this community for a lot of people because of poor air quality.
I wish there was more energy put into and more urgency put into completing our active transportation network in this town. It's kind of a no-brainer if you look at the evidence of all the benefits associated with more people using active transport versus vehicle transport. And this town is a pretty ideal place. It's not a huge physical footprint. You know, even on foot, you can get across town in a half hour. There's no real justification for diminishing an active transportation plan or making a lot of compromises to avoid inconveniencing motorized traffic. We just need to do it. And, you know, hopefully the culture will catch up and everybody will be walking and cycling in a few short years. That would be my hope.
Are you excited about the Princess Street changes?
It's a step in the right direction again. More space for pedestrians and cyclists.
It wasn't in the plan, you know.
They needed to do some underground work there. And then I think the engineer who was working on the plan saw the opportunity to actually, which I thought was brilliant, that somebody was keeping an eye open for those opportunities. I would say, rather than focusing on what we stand to lose, is focusing on what we stand to gain.
Mm-hmm.
In all the riding that we did in places where it was safe enough and culturally accepted for people to ride bicycles, there's a huge amount of joy that you just feel it on the road. Any kind of linkages that we can make with other things that are going on, like Cycle 16 has done a huge, huge step forward for cycling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other people are adopting what they're doing or coming to them to find out what's happening. But I mean, that's one giant step forward. So I think in some ways, I need to remind myself that even though it feels like things are going really slow, we have made some really big steps forward.
You know, somebody was telling me on Cycle 16 that they had gone up to Meigs and they were riding along Babine Road, and, you know, there's not that much traffic on there, and they were feeling comfortable. And then they got on the Cycle 16 path and they thought, wow, this is so much better. And they said, wouldn't it be great if all of our roads were like this, where we felt this safe?
Mm-hmm.
So Cycle 16 has given us something to head to. You know, mm-hmm. This is the pinnacle that we should be leading all our cycle paths to.
And then another thing is perspective taking. I think people that don't walk or ride their bicycles very often, it's hard for them to understand what it is like for us if we're walking or riding our bicycles. Maybe it's not easy for people to take the perspective of another type of transportation. And I really notice it in the spring on a really rainy day when there's giant puddles and somebody drives past you when you walk or you ride your bicycle and you get sprayed from head to toe, and that vehicle didn't notice that even happened. So I think the more kinds of activities that we can have on days or in places where people can experience those activities, it would be really helpful.
I would love to have some things going on in the town where anybody can join us.
Yeah.
They do in cities in the States. I don't know if anywhere, probably other places. It's called the Kidical Mass, where you just get a bunch of kids out on a bicycle. I've seen them exiting a school. Like, the entire school just gets on their bike and they just head out on the road.
Reclaiming the roads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great idea. I went for a couple of urban rides in Latin American cities after dark, and it would be a whole mass of cyclists, and we just kind of take a lane of a road, and it was wonderful. Kind of like the car-free Sundays that they have in a lot of Latin American cities. Brings out the best in the communities.
Being able to enjoy your transportation space safely is a mark of humanity.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Mutual respect.
Yeah. I have so many great memories of being on my bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I want that for everybody. I think that these are things we should be aspiring to. More joy downtown.
Yeah.
You are listening to Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and I'm Christine Bruce. Before the break, Debbie Wellwood and Lothar Schaefer were considering the gap between risk perception and reality when it comes to active transportation, and how the reality of a good active transportation plan in any town just improves the experience of living in that town. Next up, Rishon Greenlease from Smithers Pride, and how they've been inclusive of bicycles at their upcoming event, Transcending Hate, by hosting a bike valet.
A revolution that keeps me arriving again and again. She has
Rishon, thank you for coming to Totally Spoke. I'm so excited for your upcoming events.
Thank you. Yeah, starting Friday, June 6th at 7 p.m., we're going to have a two-spirit talk with Ella Lemera, who's a new drag queen coming up this year. And so that will be at the Smithers Public Library, and it's going to be free and open to all ages. And then Saturday is our big event to start things off at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. is the Pride Family Story Time at the library. And then at 11, we start off at Beauville Square with our celebrations. So that goes till about 3 p.m. with music starting at about 12 p.m. We'll have some amazing musicians. We've got lots of vendors, both marketplace and food trucks. We've got face paint. We've got a photo booth. And this year we're going to have a bike valet. And then at 3 p.m. we're going to have a bike parade. That's also new this year. And then the evening at 8 p.m. is the after party at the Zulacanth Friendship Center. So that's a drag show and DJ dance. And that's 19 plus only. And tickets are available at Mountain Eagle Books and on Eventbrite. And then to wrap things up on Sunday, June 8th at 7:30 p.m., we have Drag Bingo at Smithers Brewing Company, and that's also a 19-plus event, and tickets are available on Eventbrite. So many different events. It's really quite exciting.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. On June 7th, which is the Saturday, you'll be closing off part of Main Street at Beauville Square. Let's talk about the Bike Valet event. So why did you agree to having that at your event?
Our theme this year is Transcending Hate, and we went with that because we love how it brings people together to celebrate how having a diverse population makes us stronger and more united. What I really love about having this be more of a bike-friendly event than past years is that it's really bringing together that intersectionality of the queer community and the environmental community. So we're trying to bring more people together than ever this year with the bike valet so that people feel welcome to stop by on their bike and not have to worry about the safety of their bike. So it's really just quite a pedestrian-friendly event. And of course, we want to extend that to bicycles. Keep your bike safely stored and enjoy all the festivities.
The fact that you have that block blocked off to traffic is why I wanted to encourage people to ride their bikes. I want them to normalize public space being accessible for everybody.
Yeah, I think encouraging people to bike when possible is awesome. And you talk about accessibility. We've also had some ramps built. so that it'll be more accessible for folks in wheelchairs. And the times nicely with Bike Week being that week, so this kind of caps it all off. And so to kind of get people in that biking spirit, we're also going to have a bike decorating event the Wednesday before.
Okay, tell us about that, the bike decorating. You've been negotiating with the BV Tool Library to make this happen.
They've offered their location, which is fantastic. And I know some people have a habit already of kind of going there on Wednesday. So at 5:30 to 7 p.m. outside of the Edge building at Ranger Park, we're going to be decorating bikes. So we encourage people to bring their bikes, bring some supplies if you have it, and get crafty and excited for Pride and really kind of show your celebration outwardly. And hopefully the decorations will be able to bike with you to school and home and work and home for the next couple of days and last till Pride. But really it's just about enjoying kind of bike culture and connecting with others. And then this will also set up nicely for the bike parade on the 7th at the big Pride event.
Okay, let's go back to Bike Valley for a minute. What will it cost if someone decides to bring their bicycle and park it there?
Totally by donation. So it's just going to be a service that's available for people, and we encourage people to donate if they can to make sure that Bike Valleys can be more available at future events.
Thank you, Rashad, for making this happen and for bringing so much diversity and inclusion, so much love into our community. I can't wait for it to happen.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited as well.
So there's one final little point that I wanted to make. I will be putting up some active transportation displays in 5 business windows downtown. And Local Supply Co. has generously donated the use of some skateboards for the display. And when I mentioned to him that the Smithers Pride event was on that weekend, he grabbed the 3 skateboards from me out of my hands and ran back to the back and brought back an entire series of skateboards all in different colors.
Oh, wow. That's so beautiful. Oh, I'd love hearing stories like that because our town really is so welcoming and excited and supportive. And it's so wonderful to hear those kind of stories.
Thank you, Michonne. I'm looking forward to this. Can't wait to see you there.
For sure. See you there.
Okay, but what is Bike Valet? Bike Valet is a service that provides secure and convenient parking for bicycles, sort of like a coat check for bikes. There's a designated location that's corralled off, where bikes are secured and basically only one person, Bike Valet staff, can go into the corral to park or pick up a bicycle. I like to call it bicycle babysitting, but the point of it is that your bike is safe without having to be locked up, so you can leave both your car and your bike lock at home. When I lived in Toronto, I was near the Wychwood Barns, which had just launched their farmers market. If you know Toronto at all, you know there's not a lot of excess real estate, so driving a car downtown is asking for trouble if you need to park. We wanted everyone to be able to shop at the farmers market, so we offered Bike Valet as a way to enable people to attend. And it worked! We had hundreds of bikes show up in the 3 hours the market was open on Saturday mornings. So, Bike Valets provide a monitored and secure area for parking bikes, often at events where parking space might be limited. What changes do you want to see to our infrastructure? I'd love to hear your take on what we've discussed. You can call the CICK station at 250-847-8769 and leave a message. Meanwhile, watch for me around town. I've initiated several bike-friendly projects to demonstrate how much value they add to events and businesses. Especially watch some of our downtown business window displays this week. 5 of our businesses have agreed to allow me to put in displays that celebrate Go By Bike Week, but being more inclusive of all active transportation options.
The past is behind us, the back wheel is the power, the front wheel, free wheels, hour after hour.
And that's it for Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. I'm Christine Bruce, and I thank you for listening. Big thanks to Debbie Wellwood and Lothar Schaefer for sharing their views on the difference between risk perception and the reality of riding a bike in downtown traffic. I also want to thank Rashawn Greenies from Smithers Pride for being inclusive in so many ways. but just one more being by hosting a bike valet at their upcoming Pride event, Transcending Hate. If you're going downtown that weekend, please ride your bike, and we'll look after it for you. In 2 weeks, I hope to have a conversation with one of our counselors, Sam Raven, on some exciting changes to our road infrastructure that allow people more options for active transportation to get around town. I also hope to share some clips from the upcoming Smithers Pride event, where I'll be asking everyone who comes by the Bike Valet Corral, what's the road system you want to travel on? See you then, active transportation bunnies.